Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Have you ever thought about how much of Jesus' teaching in the New Testament involves food or eating a meal together? Eating together was and is a social activity, and this was especially true in the culture that Jesus was part of. Here in the Western world, eating together as a family has become almost a thing of the past. I recently heard the testimony of a man who said that it wasn't until he was in his 20s that he had the experience of sitting down to a family meal, and that experience was not with his biological family. That's a sad commentary on our society, especially when I think of the valuable lessons I learned around the family table. According to the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and later the temple, contained the showbread or the bread of the presence in the holy place. One loaf of bread represented each of the 12 tribes of Israel, signifying the fellowship God wanted to have with his people. This bread was replaced every Sabbath day with fresh loaves, indicating a need for regular fellowship and renewal. And then, in the New Testament, the early church met often to break bread and fellowship together. In our study of Luke's Gospel, we've observed various mealtime scenes, the most recent one being in chapter 13, where Jesus speaks of people who refused to accept his offer to enter the kingdom. When they found themselves locked out of the feast, it was too late. Today's study takes us to Luke chapter 14. Here, Jesus spends most of the chapter either participating in a meal or using it as a backdrop for his teaching about the kingdom. I've called our study the Great Banquet. But the food is not the focus. It's simply the setting for Jesus to give important teaching about personal choices. Our text is Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 24. So listen carefully as I read this portion of God's holy word. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him, and healed him, and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you, and him, come and say to you, Give place to this man. Then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, Friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed, and the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste of my supper." In this text, Jesus uses several kinds of guests to illustrate the importance of our choices on our eternal destiny. The first kind of guests are the excluded ones. As the text opens, Jesus is asked to dine at the home of a Pharisee. The other guests at the meal are primarily Pharisees and teachers of the law. Jesus wasn't invited because he's so well liked. In fact, the guests at this meal are watching him furtively with evil intentions. They're hoping he'll do or say something that they can find fault with him. As they're waiting for the meal to begin, a stranger, an uninvited guest, enters the house. Now, to understand this scene, you need to know a little about the customs of the day. Jesus and the other guests invited to this Pharisee's house would recline at the table and be served a meal. But friends and neighbors and curious onlookers wouldn't eat, but they could gather around the perimeter of the room to observe the meal and listen in on the conversation. These observers were free to move in and out of the house as they will, and this was normal. So as they're waiting for the meal to begin, a certain man enters the room, and he has a condition known as dropsy. Now, I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up. It means his body was retaining fluid. Most likely his legs or arms were swollen with that fluid. Today, it's called edema, and I understand it's caused by either the heart or the lungs not functioning properly. When Jesus saw the man, he immediately knew what the Pharisees were thinking. He asked them if it was permissible to heal on the Sabbath, and his question was met with silence. Then Jesus takes hold of the man, heals him, and sends him on his way. This man was the excluded guest. You see, the Pharisees would have concluded that his physical infirmity was caused by his personal sin, making him unclean. In their pseudo-piety, they would not have any contact with him. Jesus points out they had more concern for their animals than for this man. And when Jesus confronted them with that statement, they again remained silent, refusing to answer. Now, jump down to verse 12 of our text. Here, Jesus offers his listeners, and especially the host, some instruction on hospitality. According to Jesus, the man whom he healed, the one who was excluded from the meal, was really the kind of person that should have been invited. Why? Because he had no resources with which to return the favor. Jesus clearly pointed out the reason for his instruction. While there would be no immediate reward, no return invitation from such a person, there would be an eternal reward. That reward would come at the resurrection of the righteous. And you know something else? There's a sense in which Jesus was the excluded guest in this scene also. He was invited, he was present at the Pharisee's house, but he wasn't really welcome. His questions and his behavior made the host and the other guests uncomfortable. They wanted a way by which they could exclude him completely from their presence and from their society. And they ultimately did that by having him put to death. Their attitude toward Jesus and their attitude toward this man with the dropsy sprang from the same corrupted root. There's another thing here I believe it's important to notice. It's the progression from a meal to a marriage feast, to a great supper. I'll have more to say about that as we go on through the text. The second kind of guests Jesus talked about are the exclusive ones. As Jesus observed what was taking place around him, he noted how the guests at the Pharisee's house were choosing the best seats. He knew those in the audience understood that Messiah's kingdom would be inaugurated with a great feast. So he told them a story. Now Jesus could have said, "When you're invited to a friend's house," but he tactfully moves the story to neutral ground, a marriage feast. And incidentally, a marriage feast would have had many more guests than a meal in a private home. In Jesus' story, the guest sees himself as worthy of his invitation, the most honorable man invited to the feast. So naturally, based on his viewpoint, he takes the best seat in the house. Unfortunately for him, the host doesn't see it the same way. When a more honorable man than him arrives, he is forced with shame not just to take a lower seat, but the lowest one. You see, in the interim between his arrival and the host asking him to vacate the uppermost seat, all the other seats have been taken. It's a humiliating situation. Jesus points out it is much better to take the lower seat first, and then you can have the prestige of being called to a more honorable one. In fact, the host may even address you as friend. Then the other guests will be impressed that the host has elevated your position among them. And then Jesus closes the story with the familiar moral: whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus followed up this parable by reminding his host that it would have been far better for him if he'd invited guests like the man with the dropsy, the poor, the lame, the blind, and so on. If he wanted to be exclusive, he should have focused exclusively on those who couldn't repay him. That would have been a demonstration of true righteousness, and it would have gained him an eternal reward in the resurrection of the just. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Great Banquet. Now, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Great Banquet, and we'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Great Banquet. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Great Banquet. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.